Morning. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Yay! Children, you guys don't need to be here, so you can go upstairs and enjoy. You do need to be here. I didn't mean it like that. You do need to be here, but upstairs, head on up and have fun. Make as much noise as you can. For Linda Jane. Who got a Valentine's this morning? Nah, it's Diana. Oh, Colin. Colin and Marlene. You power couple. I was thinking about it, how it's not New Zealand, we're a bit funny with some holidays, aren't we? That it's not something that we overly celebrate, but and it can get a bit commercialized, I know that, but also, what better day than to celebrate a day of love? No matter who we are and what relationships we're in, we've all got people we love. So let's just make today a celebration of that. Make sure you ring people. Text the ones you love later on. Give them a little hello. You never know what that will do for their day. And we're going to have a bit of a fun morning. So I've just got some things here. Can I actually? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lydia. Everybody, I just want you to take a little chocolate heart there. And then there's a little card as well for you to take. You can take the thing out of the. Yeah, it's two separate ones. Yeah. So just take one of each, everybody. And you can eat the chocolate whenever you want. And the card, I'll tell you what we're going to do with them a little bit later. So that's a little surprise. But don't worry, we're not going to do sneaky secret Valentines for anyone or anything like that. So you don't have to panic. I can see all the men like, uh-oh, uh-oh. No. Awesome. So I knew that I was going to be sharing today, and I knew it was going to be Valentine's Day, and I knew that God wanted to talk about love today. And so I've spent the last couple of months just thinking about how that could look. And I had this really cool idea of Jesus being our Valentine, and how, I had the whole thing worked out in my head, and about how things like sometimes people give flowers, and that's like quite a sensory thing, and how that's exactly what Jesus and Holy Spirit do, is they open our senses up. We get to taste and see that the Lord is good through the Holy Spirit. And I had this whole thing about the gifts. But then this week, as I was getting it all ready, God in his classic way just really changed that, and instead gave me this. How many of you have had like something that's really simple, but you just get a fresh revelation of it and it just absolutely rocks you? You can't think about anything else. And I know that this is simple, but I just really felt like God wanted us to literally just talk about love this morning, which is this grounding of our faith for those of us who believe in God. It's the grounding of it. You can't really go past it. But at the same time, it's so complex that it will take us our entire lifetimes to actually be able to fully experience and fully understand. And there are so many different ways that we could look at the love of God that we could talk about. And, you know, love your enemies, love your neighbor as yourself, the way that Jesus displayed love. But I really, really genuinely feel that we can't really fully understand who we are and who we're called to be if we don't understand the love of the Trinity. And the love that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have for each other. Because if we don't understand the love that the three of them have, we don't know our place in life, actually. We don't understand who we are. And so we're just going to have a quick look at that. And then, because it's me, I've got something for us all to do together in a little bit, so you can get excited about that. When I was in high school, I had I did all the maths and sciences, and as a fun one, I did the art history class. And my teacher had chosen the periods of time for us to study that were the religious paintings, and so she had to teach at my secular school about what the symbolism in the paintings was, and so things like a little dove, the artist was representing peace, and so on. And one thing that she had to try and explain to a bunch of 17-year-old girls was what the Trinity was. And I do not envy her because that was tough. It's tough for anybody, really. But she explained it in the way that it's like if I use myself as the example, I am one person, but I am a daughter and I'm a wife and I'm a friend. So depending on who my relationship is with, I'm someone else. So everybody kind of got it that way. But I don't think that that's actually accurate. And that actually, but it's often how we think of it. But they're actually three separate beings, three individual entities, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And they just live in such complete unity and love for each other that if you like imagine someone that you do really love, could be anybody, and at any point in time, and you know when you're just really, really having a great time with that person. So you might be adventuring or relaxing or laughing, and in that moment, just how you just forget about everything else that's going on around you. I really believe that it's that specific moment that we can't maintain, but it's that moment that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit live permanently and constantly with each other. They don't get sick of each other or tired of each other or exhausted from being happy. They just stay in that all the time. So three separate beings. And so when Jesus came to earth, he didn't come just to pay the penalty for our sins. We know that God is just and righteous and he needed payment for our sins, right? For us to come into relationship with him. But that's not entirely the sacrifice that Jesus did when he died. I think that as well as that, imagine the sacrifice of being in that Trinity, the three of them, and then actually breaking the whole three of them up so that he could come. He didn't just come to die for us. He left his perfect, loving, unity relationship, unified relationship, so that he could come and be with us and so that he brought, bring us into him. And we're just going to have a little look at that. So John 5, Jesus is talking to the Jewish leaders who want to kill him because he keeps saying that he's the Son of God. And who is this crazy man that's saying that? It's absolute hearsay. And he says that he won't do anything that the Father doesn't say. And he says in John 5, because the Father loves his Son so much, he always reveals to me everything he is about to do. And you will be amazed when he shows me even greater works than you've seen so far. So he says that over and over, again and again in the scripture. And in John 8, the Jewish leaders again are asking him, who even are you? And Jesus says to them, you will know me as I am after you have lifted me up from the earth as Son of Man. Then you will realize I do nothing of my own initiative. I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed to me. And then listen to this. I am his messenger and he is always with me, for I only do that which delights his heart. I mean, we read this, but do we actually understand what that means? Like Jesus didn't do anything that didn't delight his Father because he loved his Father and he knew the love that his Father had for him. So it's like with Zach, I don't just go and make big decisions on my own because I don't want to get in trouble. Sometimes. But you know, because we are in a relationship, we communicate, we do things in agreement with each other. And that's exactly what Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit were doing. And even in the garden, the night before he was captured, or the night that he is captured, he's praying, not my will, but yours be done, Father. And we sing that, and I think we sing it as well, which is great, from a personal point of view, like, not my will, God, but yours. But those are literally the words of Jesus, not my will, but yours, my Father. He just loved him so much that he didn't want to step out of alignment of what was happening. He knew that his love had to be sacrificial. And the Holy Spirit is the same, and even in Genesis 1 verse 2, it talks about the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was waiting. The Holy Spirit was waiting for the instruction and to walk in line with what God the Father was doing. He didn't do anything without him. In John 16, Jesus says to his disciples, there's much more I want to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at the moment. But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak his own message, but only what he hears from the Father, and he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. So obedience to God the Father brings a complete fullness of love and joy that's worth more than anything else that we could ever know. Obedience and love just go hand in hand. And Holy Spirit and Jesus knew that. Jesus says, the Father has an intense love for me because I freely give my own life to raise it up again. And I was just thinking, like, we could just spend our lives looking into that love and never getting sick of it. It just goes on and on, that circle of love that they have there. But then it gets even better because Jesus says to his disciples in John 15, okay, honestly, this is incredible. I love each of you. Okay, this is Jesus. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. The same love that the Father loves Jesus is the love that Jesus had for his disciples. You must continually let my love to nourish your hearts. And when we believe in Jesus and believe that he is the Son of God, then we are welcomed into that same love as well. And I don't know, I feel like, I mean, it has to be a personal revelation. God has to reveal this to us individually because those are just words otherwise. We can think, oh, and I think I've probably spent a lot of my life thinking, yeah, that's so amazing, God. That's so amazing. But the more we ask him, the more he reveals the truth of that, that we experience it. And it's like you can feel that love. And it should just blow our minds. This should just be literally what we spend our time thinking about. There's a love circle of Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the Father and us on earth that fully revolves around Jesus dying out of obedience and love so that we can live in obedience and love. We can actually experience the love that they share because of Jesus. He is the central point, the central pivot piece that everything revolves around, and he points everything back to the Father. Nothing would be possible without him. Sorry, this is all feeling quite heavy. It's exciting, like Richard said. It's like, how can we keep quiet about this? Once we know this, how can we keep it to ourselves? The God of the universe, in complete oneness with Jesus and Holy Spirit, they broke their relationship apart for us. They broke it apart for us, that we can come in and experience it. And then obviously it was restored. And it's not just for us, it's so that we can live out God's love for others as well. So I'm going to, can we just put that verse up on the screen? It's John 17:26. Okay, so this was Jesus' actual prayer. He prayed this the night he was captured, and he prayed it for all believers. Anybody that believed that he was the Son of God, this is what he was praying just before he was captured. You, or God, he's talking to God, you fully live in me, and now I fully live in them. That's us, guys, so that they will experience perfect unity and that the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. Every single one of us. So just read that again. You fully live in me, God, and now I fully live in City Life, so that they will experience perfect unity and the world, New Plymouth, will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. What stands out to you from that? And what's surprising to you from that? Anything that excites or challenges you? It's quite a lot. We're going to do what we've done before, and I just really want people to come and share their thoughts on this. So no one's had time to prepare apart from me, so you're welcome. And I just want us to spend some time as a church family meditating on this scripture, on what this means and what stands out to you from this. So have a think. if there's something that this reminds you of, a part of God's love that you want to talk about this morning, then I just invite you to come up and to share that, what it might mean to you. And we're just going to have a little bit of time sharing together. So go for it, whoever's ready, and don't all come at once.
The word passionate stands out for me. I have lost my passion for Jesus. I know I have. That first love. I desire it. I want it, but I haven't got it. And yet I seek it. And I'm sure I'm not alone. But if anybody has the secret of how, please do tell. Because I long for it. I really do. I spend time with him. I do the things I'm supposed to do, but that passion, I long for that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, Maureen, if you're comfortable. Do you just want to pray that now, that God give us more passion?
Yeah. Oh, Father, I know I'm not alone in this, Father. Father, no matter how long we've known you, whether it's a year, whether it's 40 years like I have, Father, but I just pray that we would have that passion, that zeal for you, Father, that we would not be afraid to share that zeal and love that you have for us with others, Father, that you'll make us bold, that we will not be afraid, and Father, that you will shine through us, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen, yeah.
Hi, I'm Ian. I got saved over 40 years ago, and what stood out for me was John's Gospel, and it's my favourite book of the Bible by a long way, because it just summarises the creation story. You might have a Bible that where Jesus is speaking, it's printed in red. I'm sure they ran out of red ink in John's Gospel, because there's probably half of it that's in red. And the great thing about the Gospel, especially chapter 17, is that Jesus not only prays for his disciples and other people, he actually prays for us. And when I read that the first time, I thought, well, this guy's actually praying for me. It's not removed. It's not a thing that happened 2,000 years ago. He's actually praying for us today. And I just thought that was so amazing that he reaches right down to us today and prays for us.
Who loves knowing that Jesus prayed for us and keeps praying for us? Amazing. Who else wants to share? I'm just not going to feel awkward, so.
It's just the perfect unity that came. I came from a kind of like dysfunctional, broken kind of family with lots of kind of rejection and mess, and I think that is just a beautiful promise for anyone who's felt on the edge or on the outside or didn't feel like they quite fitted for whatever reason, is that you're just brought into perfect unity and that feeling of peace that maybe people have never experienced before. I hadn't experienced before, and I was looking for in all sorts of wrong places, is that unity of just being a part of something so beautiful and peaceful, and finally feeling like you fit and like you're totally loved. I think it's an amazing promise.
Thank you, Kate. And I love, like you said, and it's that they will experience perfect unity. Not that they'll know it or think about it, but actually experience it with that peace. Amazing. Who else wants to share?
I love when he said, you live fully in me and now I live fully in them. And to me, that is the confirmation of, you know, the love of Christ in my life. What else, you know, I asked myself when I read that, Lord, what else can I do? You've done it all. All I have to do is just to trust in you. And that's why I love when he said, now I live fully in them. So, yes.
So good. Fully, fully, fully. There's no part of us that isn't touched. So, so good. If there's someone, yeah.
just a little thought. This last week I've been brushing, shoulders with some of my family down Palmerston North and Fielding. I'm very aware of the love that the Lord has for me, and sometimes we do feel that God's love is not quite as full as we've experienced from other, you know, at other times. But that's not so. And this scripture reminds me that, they will see that you love each one of them with the passionate love that you love me. And with one particular member of the family who's been through hard times and so on, and I was able to speak to him and try and encourage him. But it was absolutely overwhelming that when I was sharing with him that the love that God has implanted within me was just flowing to him. And so it reminds me that God loves those who don't know him equally as much as he loves me. And it was an experience. And I just hope and pray that some of the words that I had for him will sink down and that he will come to a point where he will experience the love that you and I know so well, and it's always with us.
Can you just wait for a second? I just, when Daphne said rubbing soldiers, not shoulders, I just think that even that is a prophetic slip of the tongue, that you're a soldier. You are. You're a soldier in the kingdom. And I just would really love if you would pray now, if you're comfortable, and release that boldness that you carry, because like Maureen said, a lot of us want more of that, and that you carry naturally and you've had a lifetime of carrying. So would you do that?
Yeah, thank you. Mm. Yes, Father, I just thank and praise you that you've called us all to be fellow workers and soldiers for you, yes, because we are in a fight. We are in a battle, but Lord, we know that you have won the final battle, and it's for us to clean up the residue of the battle. Just as during the war, there were many infantry soldiers that went up through Italy cleaning up the battle lines and clearing spaces. And so each of us have a special mission to impart our authority in you, to pour out love and blessing on the unloved. And Lord, we know that we're inadequate, but Lord, you're always faithful, you're always with us, and you will supply every need that we need to portray your love and pour it out on others. So we thank and praise you for gathering together in this way this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your unbounding love, your extravagant love. Help us, Lord, to grow stronger each day, regardless of our particular situation, but you are with us always. Help us each day to be able to share, even perhaps not personally, but we can always share with them in prayer and support. So we commit each one here and all those we love and pray for into your loving care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, man, thank you. Shall we just cancel church from now on and just have Daphne pray over each of us every week? It's beautiful. Thank you. Isn't it amazing? One scripture, one verse, and look at what can come out. I really hope you're encouraged today by that. And for me, it's, I think like somebody said, that the world will be convinced that you have sent me. And like Maureen, I just really do just want more boldness. I just am not a bold person in terms of sharing Jesus. And I just get shy and I just, think, oh, no, they'll ask me if they want to know. They know what I believe, so they'll ask. But I've just been praying recently about the boldness, and what a beautiful promise that the world will be convinced. The world will be convinced because of the way that we can share his love. Isn't that beautiful? So I think the worship team's going to pop back up and we're just going to finish with a couple of songs. But with your cards, what I want you to do is just on the inside, on one side of the inside, I just want you to think about something. You can do this later at home if you want, or do it now in worship, but something that you really love about God, about his character, about his nature, about who he is. And I want you to write that on one side in the card. There's a couple of pens up here if you need. And then on the other card, on the other side of the inside, I just want you to picture it, Jesus or God the Father, whoever you want to relate to, standing in front of you right now. Right now in this room, just picture him standing there, facing you, looking at you, and what would he say to you about the love he has for you? What would he say about how much he loves you and what that love means to him? And I just want you to write that on the other side of the card so it becomes a little love letter between you and God. And that's just personal. You're not going to be sharing that if you don't want to. You take that home and do what you like. But I just encourage you to do that. There's some pens up here if you like. But yeah, thanks guys. We're just going to have a bit of worship.